Right now, it is time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, and it's time for, ladies and gentlemen, the intro of the week.
Go on.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Go on.
Okay.
It is time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine. 518-789-3440, MillertonVet.com. With us this morning, Dr. Carolyn Cannon. What happened to the dogs? With us this morning, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner, chief vet at the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Good morning, Jill and Marshall.
He silenced them.
I have dogs at this end who would be happy to oblige with the yowling.
Okay, yeah.
Or barking, at least.
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and all of a sudden I hear... The kid was in Oregon, okay, in Portland, and all of a sudden you hear, rah, 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 rah. And I'm looking around because I thought that my guys were inside. Yeah, sure enough, but they were all gathered around the phone.
Of course. Whenever mom gets on the phone.
Oh,
You have to take that, just for Marshall, I think you have to take that bear scat and put it in the blender with water, blend it up, and then put it in a spray bottle and spray it around your yard.
I don't think so. I think I'm just going to let the bears do whatever they want, wherever they want.
Okay. It's an idea if you have a vegetable garden, right?
Yeah.
Keep it your way.
That actually. And
anybody's welcome to come over and get it. It's sitting right on the front yard.
And then, do you remember, this was a great thing. Was it coyote urine? It was some sort of urine that you had to...
That you could buy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And but it was... For people of a certain socioeconomic bracket, let's just say, and they were all running down to their fancy nurseries getting it. I wish I could remember what the beast was.
To keep the deer out of the
yeah.
tomatoes or whatever.
Just let them eat
the flowers.
Yeah,
eat the flowers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Get a couple of dogs. They stay out of my yard.
That's that often works for the deer. Although we're going to get to the questions in a minute. Resident rabbit just has a totally different... No, he's got this great, or she's got this great schedule. It just waits. Like, okay, they're in now. And the next thing, that guy is out there, he thinks he's on a bloody cruise ship because he just hits the buffet like nothing you've ever seen.
And eats as fast as he possibly can.
He two-fisted, right?
Right.
Maury in Dover Plains, my cat's stomach was gurgling super loud all day yesterday. It sounded like a drain. She didn't eat anything different. Should I be worried? She's 8 years old.
Well, I love this question because I get to say the word borborygmus, which I love for a gurgly tummy. So a couple of things that can be caused by gas. It can be caused also by sometimes hyperacidity. So it is an imbalance in the, usually, unless you're very, very hungry, unless your kitty's very, very hungry, it's an imbalance in the digestion. And so, but if you're not seeing any vomiting or loose stool, I definitely would watch for loose stool, and it happens just a day, then I wouldn't be too concerned about it. But if it's more sounding like a drain like this, then it's probably gas. And so that can be caused by a change in diet. So it's possible that your kitty's getting into something
you're not aware of. Yeah.
So you need to really check around the house, check your house plant. But if that's not the case, then stress sometimes, you know, chronic stress will cause changes in digestion. So think about those things. If it's something that goes on for more than a day, should be checked out by your veterinarian and talked about. But think about, you know, check around the house, see if there's anything chewed up. Cats will sometimes chew up strange things, especially if they don't have a good feeling in their stomach. If they feel a little queasy, sometimes they will chew something up that they shouldn't have. So watch for vomiting, watch for loose stools, and or poor appetite. And also just check the food and make sure that they haven't, you know, that it's really exactly the same thing that you have been feeding. Think about those things.
All right. And one quick question. How long would you give gurgly?
So if there's no vomiting and diarrhea, what I might do is just go to a more easily digested diet for a week or so. And you can talk to your vet about that.
But that would be a fun, I just apropos diet. I just this is a scourge. It's an absolute scourge. But I ran into this in my unofficial capacity as a Ask the Vet's asker. And somebody said, oh, you know, I'm going to put my dog on a grain-free diet. Now, the dog has a heart condition. The dog is defying every possible everything. The dog's doing great. Mm-hmm. And I said,
changing the diet, yes, worrisome.
Yes, I said, how about, obviously, this person has seen something on TV and the whole grain-free disaster. I just said, you know what? Get in touch with your vet. And just see, because the dog's doing so, you might not want to fiddle with it. And so the reason I mention this is because the simplest things sometimes are not taken into account.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. If you've got especially a much older dog who's on the balance beam, doing really well, but what I call on the balance beam. There's some small change that might move a foot one way or the other. And, you know, just a case of diarrhea for 3 days by a diet change can really knock an older dog back, especially one who's not got perfect health.
Right. So you just, that's sort of apropos, you're gurgly. You think that there's nothing different because it looks the same and anyway it's part of a routine. You'd be really surprised at the things that could be different that you're not even thinking about.
Right, right. And stress is certainly one thing. There's you may have seen on Facebook, et cetera, where some cats will attack bears that come to the window. So you may have an indoor cat who's being stressed by something that is around the house.
Right, back to that resident rabbit.
Right.
Danya in Brookline, Massachusetts. I recently had to board my dog for a bit. He is an intact standard poodle, 9.5 years old. The folks he boarded with told me the first night he was super stressed, howling, shaking, and panting all night. He was calm the next day, but I'm going to have to board him again in a couple of months. I'm wondering if I should get him some kind of tranquilizer. What's worse for a dog his age, a drug or a night of bad stress?
That's an easy question. The night of bad stress is worse for him. So, yes. Get him not a tranquilizer, but an anti-anxiety combination. Combination drugs work better than single drugs. So a couple of things from your veterinarian that are going to cut the anxiety and give him a calming feel.
All right. And then this is just another thing. Humans are amazing. That doesn't mean cut your meds in half, okay?
You mean combining the drugs?
No, it means like if you've got a little bit of XYZ that you take for yourself, that does not mean...
Oh, no. Yeah, there are big differences between the way people react to anti-anxiety medication and tranquilizers and gabapentin and alpha-2 agonists. Their dogs are different species, and their doses are quite different as well.
Right. I just throw that in as a public service announcement.
Thank you.
You'd be surprised.
No, I wouldn't, actually.
You'd be surprised at the pre-screening that takes place before the calls even get to you.
Yeah.
All right. I am a professional, apropos PSA, Mike in New York City. I'm a professional dog walker in Manhattan. Can you do me a big favor and make a PSA about stank breath in dogs? In my experience, there's a whole lot of folks out there who either don't know or don't care that if your dog's breath could make the devil run back to hell, he or she needs to go to the vet. Am I wrong?
I'm always in awe of those professional dog walkers and amazed at how well they do with the dogs. I think the key is to keep walking as fast as you can so the dogs can't get into trouble with each other or anybody else.
Yeah, I am. The other day, it's like marionettes, which I have said over the years I was very bad at. But how do you keep them going the same?
Yeah, just distraction by keeping them all walking as fast as it, so they're all they're thinking about is keeping up with you, I guess.
That's smart.
That's a good question, and I think that we don't pay attention to teeth as much because they're inside the mouth and the hair is covering it, and we don't really have to look at that. But the odor can be pretty bad, and we'll really fill up the house at times with halitosis, and that's from the bacteria that live in the plaque along the gum line and on the teeth. And halitosis is a sign that something's going on. And so either we have periodontal disease, meaning disease of the tissues that are holding the teeth in, or maybe a stomach problem, which is less common, or something going on in the pharynx in the back of the mouth. Most of the time it is the bacteria on the teeth. And living with the good bacteria in your gut is a wonderful thing, but when you have all this bad bacteria causing disease and destruction of the periodontal tissues and the teeth themselves, then it leads to a whole array of potential health problems. And so it's something that needs to really be paid attention to. It doesn't, I think people in general have a fear of having to brush their dog's teeth, and they can't do it, and it's unpleasant, and their dog doesn't like it, et cetera. But you can do health care for the teeth once they're cleaned up and the bad teeth are removed. You can do some successful health care without necessarily having to brush your dog's teeth.
All right. Now, speaking of brushing dog's teeth, which is, you know, this happened to me decades ago. I was at the vet with one of the dogs, and his teeth were sort of yellow. And so Dr. Tom, at the time, not here, said, well, brush his teeth. And I looked at him. I was young. I looked at him as though he was mad. And he said, well, you brush your teeth, don't you? And so from that time, I have been brushing dogs' teeth. Now, I can't get everybody else to do it, which is unfortunate, because one of the first things you find out when you do start brushing your dog's teeth regularly is that you are protecting them from a host of other really icky things that could happen that you have no idea are connected to the teeth bone, so to speak.
Right.
No, seriously. And so that was the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
It's not so hard.
Well, if you start it when they're young, and you have to have the basic idea of a little bit of training in that you're going to try to make it be a pleasant experience, and so a reward type situation. Save your most pleasant rewards for the act of brushing, and start with brushing one tooth at a time.
Yeah.
Make it a fun time, and you start when they're really young.
And you get chicken-flavored toothpaste, because the malt flavor was, ugh. Poultry-flavored was
poultry
great.
Or vanilla mint, yeah.
Yeah, but vanilla, I never had, but poultry was always a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's
And they
clever.
Can, you know, it has to be special dog or cat toothpaste, because they don't spit it out.
Yeah.
So we don't want people
no
toothpaste
crest.
That they're going to swallow.
No, geez.
Yeah. It is doable, and people who do it all the time reap the benefits of a healthy mouth, but it's something to have a good conversation with the veterinarian about, and someone who's progressive as far as dentistry goes, because just getting the tartar off the surface of the teeth and not knowing what's going on underneath with X-rays is not progressive medicine.
Oh, I like that. That's good. I was just going to say pointless, but that's okay. Not progressive, is that the new euphemism? The new?
Oh, it's not new, but it is. It's
diplomatic.
It's a, way of
it's a
saying,
UN term.
You know,
what is it? Not progressive.
The old school thing is to just clean the surface of the teeth and ignore everything else, and that doesn't work because the tartar's right back there, and you still have the disease.
Oh, newsflash! That doesn't really work for anything, but that's okay. All right, Blake in Syracuse. I live in a duplex, and my neighbor who shares a yard with me has a spayed female hound beagle mix named Easy, who's maybe about 5 years old. As long as I've known her, about a year, Easy has lived up to her name. She's a sweet, mellow girl. But a couple of months ago, she started to wander off the property onto the road. So my neighbor had one of those electric fences installed. This week, I had a friend with a small and submissive dog visit, and Easy attacked her without any provocation. It was a serious attack, and if we hadn't broken it up, it could have been really bad. According to my neighbor, it was wildly uncharacteristic behavior. My question is, can those electric collars cause personality changes? Like, could there be a frequency we can't hear or a pain we can't feel that could be bothersome enough to make a dog a little nutty? Also, it seems unlikely, but does the sudden tendency to wander off by a spayed dog seem at all unusual to you as a vet?
I think what seems unusual to me is a behavior change. So if you have a dog who's been easy for 5 years and now has a behavior change, then there may be something going on, especially when a dog has a short fuse all of a sudden with other dogs and with people. And there may be some pain somewhere. So that's really the first thing I would see. We could also have a dog who's low thyroid and see behavior changes, difference in blood flow to the brain, and maybe is having some problems with confusion and doesn't want to be touched and doesn't want to be bothered by another dog. So all of those things come to mind. I haven't ever read or heard of a connection between, I'm assuming we're talking about the invisible sense and the collar that makes a beeping noise when they go near the fence. So the collar should make a beeping noise when they're somewhere between, I think, 10 to 12 feet from the fence line, and that warns them to stay away. If they're well-trained to it and they have a good-sized area, they can keep their stress low by, they know how to do it, they can keep their stress low by staying away from the fence line. And so I would be hard-pressed to, if they were trained properly to the fence, hard-pressed to think it was the collar or the...
You're using three words there. I mean, I know that I'm weird, but you're using three words that I would also... I mean, this is definitely worth checking out. You got to check out and see, in my view, if there's something else going on with Easy. But you are saying if they were properly trained to the fence, and I am willing to bet you dollars to donuts that there are a lot of cases where, where it's installed and you're properly trained and then it's not kept up. I would certainly investigate properly trained to the fence too.
And investigate the company. So, the original Invisible Fence Company is really, early on, there were some, I think, complaints about getting a shock when dogs were in the house from the interference of other things, and they've done a great job with that. But there are lots of fake companies out there, and so I don't know, and they're much, much less expensive, and they don't teach you how to train your dog to the fence necessarily. So all of those things have to be taken into consideration as far as your dog wearing a collar. And maybe she, I don't know. I think that this is definitely a discussion with the veterinarian first to make sure that there's no metabolic
right.
disease going on and nothing physical, and then a trainer who can help you out with that.
Right, from a sequence standpoint, since I'm also discovering that people don't sequence as well as they might, first check the dog's the physical condition, make sure there's nothing else going on.
Exactly.
All right, we've got 2 minutes, and David and Petra in Millbrook, we just got a postcard from our vet saying it's time to give our cats their feline leukemia booster shots. Can I just ask, what's the point of giving booster shots to cats that have never and will never go outside or have contact with any cats except one another?
Great question. The feline leukemia, so if your cat doesn't go outdoors at all, the recommendation, even from the experts who are the Feline Veterinary Board of Practitioners, I think is what it's called, they say that you should vaccinate when they're kittens, give them the initial vaccination for feline leukemia in case they ever get out, but you don't need to vaccinate them every year. And so it doesn't make sense to me to do that. It may be that the card really is for the annual physical exam, which in my opinion should be twice a year once they're 10 years old, but the examination is way more important than giving that leukemia booster. So there is new evidence, not super new, but a couple of years, with studies that show that cats who are over the age of 2.5 or 3 years old and beyond are super resistant to feline leukemia. So even if they've never been vaccinated and you've got an 8-year-old cat, apparently they have quite a resistance to feline leukemia. So most cats contract that disease in the first 2 years of life. And so it's the most important time to have them vaccinated. But if I've got cats who do not go outdoors, and you need to be straight with your veterinarian about that, because that's not always the case if you... you say your cat doesn't go outside, but if your cat is getting loose once a week and visiting the farm next door where there's lots of feline leukemia, then you might want to keep up with that booster. But if your cat truly does not go outdoors, then it's not necessary to do the leukemia vaccine.
Right. And you
rabies is important.
Yeah. And you do, again, as ever, raise an interesting point, and that is way back when the purpose of all those booster shots was basically to get you in so that your vet could feel up your pet, because that's pretty much the most important that's something that in a lot of cases owners can't do. Once you see a behavioral change in your animal, you're already ahead of the you've already got more of an issue than
exactly. So if you can do something prophylactically, and if you think about it, so especially with teeth, eyes, looking at ears, a palpating abdomen, looking at the around the anus, those types of things, checking out how your cat, just veterinarian asking you, can your cat jump up to a certain height, et cetera, trying to detect some level of arthritis. Those are the important things to go for. And if you think about it, if you've got a five-year-old cat and you don't go for a year, then, you know, it's the same with us being, you know, in our early 40s and not going to the doctor except every 6 years, 5 years. So, you know, even that yearly exam, so much can happen in that span of time that it's super important to get them in. Unfortunately, you know, cats don't want to go to the vet.
Right.
And so
by the way,
we're trying to change that whole idea of having to have a fearful visit. And there are things that we are doing at my practice and training for other veterinarians, fear-free training in teaching everyone how to make a visit less fearful and easily doable, basically.
What do you start with, cat hypnosis?
Well, you start with the car ride. So it's a conversation about, is your cat getting stressed in the car? What are some things that we can do? Pheromones, number one, getting them used to the cat carrier. So it's lots of training on, it starts at home. If that fear and stress never starts at home, then you're going to have a much nicer visit when you get to the veterinary office, as long as it's set up well to get you, you know, right in the room, have a separate place for cats and dogs, using the cat pheromone to keep them calm, and even drugs. So for the vet visits and anti-anxiety medication if needed, you know, it makes everybody happier and more relaxed.
And we want that.
And we can talk about that on another day.
Okay, we will. This has been, thank you very much, Dr. Cannon.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com.